Let's see. All right, time to look through the window of baseball as we do it for True and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle joins us. Bruce, it's been crazy out here today, but I love having you on a very special day, and we celebrate Orlando Cepeda's birthday here at the park. And I'd just love to get your thoughts about Cepeda and what he means to this organization and the city.
Yeah, well, I'm old enough to remember Cepeda, being Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. When the Giants first moved here in 58, having his baseball card, watching him at the L.A. Coliseum and Dodger Stadium with those classic long drives to right center, one of the great opposite field hitters, and it was somebody that you really feared. And, the fact that Mays and McCovey were also on the team was really almost too much to take at times, but I always envied the Giants fans having, that guy around. And, of course, the trade for Ray Sadecki to the Cardinals was a real heartbreaker. They couldn't resolve the McCovey and Cepeda thing at first base because neither one was an outfielder. But he goes to St. Louis and just becomes, an absolute rock of stability in that lineup. They get into two World Series. He wins an MVP. They win one of the World Series. I can still remember that lineup. Brock, Flood, Maris, Cepeda, McCarver, Shannon, Javier, Maxville, Gibson. I mean,
yeah,
tremendous stuff. And even with the Red Sox late, when he could barely move and get up to the plate, he was still hitting rockets to right center and, dead pulling as well. And I got to know him a little bit, especially when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. I went back there. We spent some really quality time. Absolutely lovely, lovely man. And it's just great that he's still with us.
Yeah, I agree. And a very special guy. He told me the story about the DH because he was the first DH for the Red Sox, and he was actually DH of the year. He had no idea what it was. He had ended his season, I think, in Kansas City, and it looked like it was over. And someone called him and said, well, we'd like you to be the DH in Boston. He said, what's that? And he ended up in Boston, and he ended up, 22 homers, 78, or something like that. And he ended up being DH of the year. And it just everything he did in baseball, he was just the consummate baseball player. When his legs were good, he could steal bases. He could hit with power. He could drive runs in. He could double. I don't know. The guy, to me, may be a little underrated because of the shadow of McCovey and Mays, but he's got a statue here.
Yeah, which is great. He played here long enough to definitely earn that. And as I said, it was really unfortunate. They certainly didn't want to trade him. Bill Rigney was tearing his hair out over the idea of losing either one of those guys. And, I guess they made the right choice in McCovey, who was an even more feared hitter than Cepeda, if people can imagine that. But he played here long enough to make a huge, huge impression, and he was the Giants' own guy. He broke in with the team as they broke in here in San Francisco. Willie Mays, obviously, he's the greatest player anybody's ever seen, but he was a New York. He had come from a lot of years in New York, and the fans took to Cepeda, I think, a little bit more because they felt he was a little bit more of one of their own, and he sure delivered for him.
And he loved music. That was the other part. He had that vibe to him, so to speak, and that resonated well here.
Well, yeah, he loved to go out to the nightclubs. You hear Latin music, jazz, Cal Jader, whoever it was. He liked Miles Davis and that Coltrane and that crowd, too. And I think he got the nickname Cha-Cha in St. Louis because he was they knew he'd love to go out and dance a little bit and have a good time. God bless him. That's a great aspect of so many ballplayers' lives is, the game's over, but you're still full of adrenaline. It's time to go out and have some fun.
Yeah, he revealed to us today Cha-Cha came from Johnny Antonelli because Cepeda went out in San Francisco and danced and loved the music, and Antonelli called him Cha-Cha.
Cha-Cha.
So he did get it here.
That's what he said today. All right, Bruce Jenkins with us. Ryan Vogelsong, we had him on today. It was a pleasure to have him on, Bruce. And he's got his spot. Doesn't he have a spot?
I'm driving over to Berkeley for the Cal football game, and I heard that, and it was really terrific, Marty. When he was with the Giants, he was a very laconic sort in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. Of course, he wouldn't talk on game days, pitching days, but that's common. But even when he wasn't pitching, he wasn't comfortable with that group media setting. dumb questions, and he had a look on his face that told you that he didn't like it that much. But you knew that there was something there. You know, his wife, Nicole, you had her. She's all class. And the two of them, I mean, to hear them today, you brought so much good stuff out of him. That's the way he is, you know, in a relaxed setting. And I think the fans had to really enjoy that.
Yeah, Bruce Jenkins Chronicle joins Marty and me, Patrick Connor, here at the Public House. And so, hey, Bruce, why do you think Ryan Vogelsong is so, like, charismatic and lovable? Meanwhile, Randy Johnson, another that on days he would start, was so surly, and I would never put Randy Johnson in a lovable category.
No, I mean, you got the feeling that there was something beneath the surface with Vogelsong that he just wasn't willing to share, you know, in the clubhouse with a lot of, you know, strangers. I think Randy Johnson, you know, he's got a good side to him as well. I never really saw it, but I never spent any time off the field with him, but he's pretty cranky. He's a different level. I mean, he doesn't suffer fools very gladly, and, you know, he just kind of came through town like a meteor. I mean, he spent so much time elsewhere. I mean, who even remembers him with the Giants?
Yeah,
plus
I don't.
Plus, he was 6'9", and he would throw a baseball through your head.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and he had no problem doing that.
And conversely, Bruce, Tim Lincecum, you could go up and rap with him on days that he'd start anytime. In fact, he was almost invite you over.
Yeah, he's one of the greatest people the Giants have ever had. An unbelievable teammate. You know, he was a child of his generation, and, you know, he liked to smoke his weed at times, you know, and he wore the T-shirt and everything else. But meanwhile, an unbelievable competitor and as good a teammate as you could have. And, of course, his performance speaks for itself.
Yep.
People related to him like they related a few people in any sport.
Yep.
He's just a little guy throwing 98, you know, and winning Cy Youngs. I mean, God, it was so much fun to watch him. And you had a feeling that he wasn't going to be around for 15 years because he got so much out of that body and the torque in his delivery and everything else, but he was here plenty enough to make an impression.
He was the common man.
Yep.
Who didn't do what he did? We all had fun.
Sure.
You know, he had fun. That's what life is all about. He had fun, and he was good at it, too. He was good at it. Hey, did you get to see the Cleveland game that broke the 20-game streak, the 21st win, where Lindor got the hit in the ninth inning and Ramirez got the double?
Yeah, I tell you, those guys, Jose Ramirez is so monstrous. I mean, I think people still aren't quite aware of who this guy is. I mean, the name, you know, it sounds like somebody you've heard before, but not quite Jose Ramirez. But, you know, you better pay attention to this guy. Lindor, he's like the sun. He is such a bright presence, and he's so good. Total MVP-style player. He's been lighting it up from the second he got to the big leagues, and he's really the essence of that team for my money. But next thing you know, they're down to their last strike, and he goes the opposite way and puts one off the wall. I mean, astounding drama. Yeah, then they lost, but, you know, they've got the record, unless you believe in the 1916 Giants, which is a debate that I guess will go on forever. But that whole, you know, the team is so great. I mean, Trevor Bauer, you know, took the loss when the streak ended, but he was tremendous after the game, talking about when he was at UCLA, they had a 22-game win streak, and he lost number 23 there. But he totally made light of it, and everybody was cracking up. And, you know, they've got a really good thing going. And the good thing about them, as opposed to a lot of teams that have, like, say, the Mariners, when they won 116 games, I mean, these guys were in the World Series just last year. So they've learned a lot about, you know, how to win and what this all means, not to take it too seriously, but, you know, they're going to, I don't know, there's so many great teams floating around. I got to think they're going to be back in the series again.
Yeah, they're very good, and that game was like a seventh game of a World Series. I loved it. I thought it was it got me ready for the playoffs. That's exactly, that was a playoff game. It was great. Bruce, you were part of the article, John and Henry and Ron Krawczyk and yourself, that came out Friday about the Giants, a little bit of grumbling. And, you know, as I always say, when you go through a season like this, it's never simple on anybody. What was your take on the article and your impressions from talking to people?
Well, it was really well done. My contribution boiled down to the comments from Brian Sabian. I spent an hour in his office a few nights ago, and my piece on him is coming out on Wednesday. But, you know, Henry was a little taken aback by some of the negativity in the clubhouse. Of course, nobody wanted to put their name to it. But, you know, those things happen. When a team's supposed to win 90 games and they're going to lose 100, you know, it's not going to be all peaches and cream in there. And, of course, Bochy's going to be a little more negative than he. After a while, you just throw up your hands and you can't believe what you're seeing. I don't think it's, you know, symptomatic of a prevailing thought. I don't think he's in any kind of trouble. I don't think really, I can't imagine any of those guys, especially the guys who count, want another manager. It was just, you know, but I thought the article was great. It was well-balanced. It was well-timed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bochy was very candid about how everything's going with him. And I just thought it was very interesting.
Yeah, I did, too. It wasn't Oscar Witt of 1940 with the Cleveland Indians, the crybabies. But there was a little
it
bit
wasn't.
Of...
It wasn't. No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. It was not that. But it wasn't even Ken Mock of Mark Kotze complaining about him.
Right.
But I thought what I liked about the article... Number one, things like this happen in baseball. If it didn't happen, there'd be something wrong because you don't go through a season like this without that.
All right.
But the fact that Bochy was asked and he responded, and it was like an open. It was an open. Hey, this is what people have said. What do you think? And he was asked, and that didn't happen with Maka. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that happened with Oscar Witt either in 1940. But I thought it was well done.
And a lot of other guys. You know, I mean, Billy Martin. You know, so the article came. In fact, I was the recipient of it. We all were. We all in 1982 when it all fell apart for the A's. Guys were sniping about Billy, you know, without putting their name to it. And he called each and every one of us in, me and Glenn Schwartz and Kit Steer, and absolutely read us the riot act. I mean, it's just terrifying, really. You're sitting there getting blistered by Billy Martin over printing stuff that not attributable to the players. You know, Bochy is he's a lot more centered and calm and reasoned than Billy. But, you know, the way he responded is not the way everyone would. And I thought it said a lot about him.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been surprised if Bruce Bochy blew his top when some of his own players are throwing shade on him, Bruce.
Yeah, I hate that expression, by the way. You can throw shade on me anytime. I'm burning up over here.
I know. In fact, I'm glad we're under a canopy here.
Throwing shade is one of my – I hate it, Bruce. It's right up there with Sunday Fun Day as two of my least favorite current phrases. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
How about the game day on NFL?
Yeah, it wasn't what it could have been.
It wasn't what it could have been.
Right.
Very good call, by the way, today, Bruce.
Let's take this to the next level now, okay?
Oh,
let's do that.
Oh, man.
All right. Hey, pleasure having you on. Cal and Ole Miss today, and how's that one going to turn out?
Well, I really have no idea. Cal looks pretty good, but they've also looked vulnerable. Mississippi has like 21 recruiting violations staring at them, and who knows what's going to come of that. They've already self-imposed ban on the postseason, but meanwhile, they're Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. They've got great athletes, and they could win 38-0, or Cal could steal it. It's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, good one. All right, hey, Bruce, have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Bruce.
You bet. I look forward to it, guys.
Yes,
thanks.
Absolutely. Boy, a pleasure.